Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. And we're joined today by Gilly McMillan, who's out with a new novel, Odd Child Out. It is available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at William Morrow. Gilly was with us the last time when she talked about her book, What She Knew, and now she's back with a follow-up to at least the character from that book, Detective Clemo. Gilly, authors of character-driven novels oftentimes leave room to bring back a main character. You did that at the end of What She Knew. What goes into the decision to actually bring back a character or to start anew with a new character?
I think most of all it has to be a character that you really love if you're going to bring them back. I felt after What She Knew that I had unfinished business with Detective Clemo and that he had much more to give as a character, so I was really keen to bring him back.
What are the added pressures of writing a novel that, for this type of offering, following a critically acclaimed novel like What She Knew, rather than just writing in a bubble or in a vacuum when nobody's expecting anything?
Well, you're definitely aware of people's expectations, which obviously, as you say, wasn't true the first time round, and that does bring its pressures. For me, I kind of had to shut those thoughts away, just shut them out, and get on with writing the kind of book which I thought I would like to read, which is how I wrote What She Knew.
Well, this book features a couple of characters, Noah Sadler and Abdi Mahad. Noah is this British child. He's terminally ill. Abdi is a Somali refugee. And can you kind of set up the story for us? Because I don't want to give anything away out of this plot.
Sure. Noah is a frail and privileged child. Abdi, as you say, is a Somali refugee. They are best friends. They go to the same exclusive private school. Abdi is there on a scholarship. One night, police get an emergency call, and they discover Noah floating unconscious in a very seedy canal in the center of Bristol, and Abdi is standing canal side. They fish Noah out, they take him to hospital, and Abdi can't and won't, or won't, say what happened. And the book really tells you how they got there and what kind of threat they're in subsequently. And it also looks at their families, two very different families in one city.
Part of the novel is written in Noah's point of view, where he can hear but he can't talk. And how challenging is it to write in that voice and to notice the things that we don't normally notice during the day, the sounds, the sights that somebody can see who's not able to respond?
I really had to think myself into that and just kind of almost shut my own eyes as I wrote those sections and kind of think, what happens? How do you translate the action around you into other sensory experiences? And also, what might his frustrations have been? Because they would be huge, wouldn't they, if you were stuck in that kind of situation?
Well, I would think that you would hear the noise of an airplane or even of a mouse running across the floor, things like that. And it's almost like a sixth sense when you're sitting in an empty room. Is that sort of how it felt as you sat there and tried to think of what he would be thinking?
Oh, definitely. And I think as soon as you lose one of your senses or block out one of your senses, the others become so much more heightened. And I think that's one of the things that made Noah's sections actually really, really interesting to write.
As Detective Clemo's called in, he's been through 6 months of counseling when the novel begins. And what insight did you get into the psychological counseling that a detective goes through following a traumatic event?
I talked to general psychologists. I didn't speak to any detectives who'd been through psychology, but as far as I could tell from the research and the discussions I did, they are very well supported these days. Not all of them want to access that support, and that was certainly true of my character and of Jim Clemo and What She Knew, but it is there, and it is now recognized that detectives experience PTSD in the same way that many other people who are on the front line do.
And the novel also focuses a lot on the relationship between Noah and Abdi rather than on the suspense and the mystery side of the novel. Was that something that evolved as you wrote?
Yeah, it did. It really did. I've kept a strong suspense element in there, but the friendship intrigued me. I really love friendship stories, and particularly ones that deal with that really intense kind of friendship that you can make when you're a teenager.
I thought it was interesting that you wrote Abdi as a Somali refugee. I know that if this book was set in Iowa, where I'm sitting right now, it would probably be a Hispanic immigrant that would make this story flow. In Britain, it was a Somali refugee. What is the Somali refugee situation in Britain that made it so ripe for a fiction?
In Britain, we have a fair number of Somali refugees, and there are a very large community in Bristol, my home city, and where my books are set. And so it seemed the right nationality to pick. we see Somali children now coming up through the school system and becoming integrated. And it's something that felt very real and very present in this city at this moment.
Is there a lot of tension between the natives from Britain, from the UK, and the refugees, as there is in the United States, between the immigrants of various places?
Certainly in some areas. In Bristol, Bristol's a very welcoming city. It's a very open and a very mixed city. And I think things are pretty good here. But yes, in some areas of the UK, there are very high tensions.
The title of the book intrigued me, Odd Child Out, because usually I can figure out what the title means, you know, fairly easily into the book, a few chapters into the book. This one, it took me a long time to kind of decide, and I'm not even sure I have it right. And I don't want to give anything away, but did you have this working title going in?
No. We named the book after it was written. It was really hard to title. And in the end, we settled on something that you could read a few different ways, which I guess is what you experienced.
Well, that's a frustrating thing to do for a reader who prides himself on being able to do this.
Sorry.
So, no, the title, though, was it? Did you have different ones that you went back and forth? Because I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, thank you. We did have a few. It's a conversation I have with my agent and my publishers here in the UK and in the US. And between us all, we try and come up with the one which we think will best fit the book and best appeal in the various markets it's going to be sold.
Some of the things that I would read about Noah with his terminal illness, it almost brought a tear to my eye as I read it. And I would think that that's something that you really can't understand unless you can't empathize. You can sympathize, but not empathize unless you've gone through it yourself. Is that a hard thing to write, a child who's dying?
Yes, it was extremely difficult. I had to push myself. I've experienced, one of my children did suffer from cancer, but he survived. So we came close as a family to experiencing what Noah's family go through, but not with a terminal prognosis. So yeah, I had to push myself to go there.
You were up for an Edgar Award for What She Knew, and I'm always intrigued by authors who do that. Where does that fit into your whole life experience things, to be nominated for an Edgar Award? Or as you write new books, this is now your new child, and the Edgar Award was just something from the past.
Oh, no, I will always value that moment when I heard that I'd been nominated. It was one of the most exciting professional moments of my life, and I think it always will be. It's such an honor to be recognized by the people who you most admire in the genre that you write in. I couldn't have felt more honored, really. And to be able to be there on the night was incredible as well.
Do they send you a certificate or something saying that you're a nominee? How does that work?
Yeah, they do. They send you a really nice certificate. And then on the night, you get to eat a chocolate Edgar Allan Poe, so that's even better.
At the ceremony, really?
Yes, the banquet.
Oh, that's fascinating. So does that open up a lot of credibility for you going forward? I mean, do you think people pick your book up because you were a previous Edgar nominee?
I don't know about that. I don't know how many people would be aware of the Edgar badge. I would hope so. I mean, I would certainly pick up a book if I saw it was Edgar nominated. Yeah.
But as you went about writing this book, when you sat there, do you have to put all the past stuff out of your mind other than reading Jim Clemo from the previous books to make sure the character traits match?
Yes, you really do. For every book you start, you have to completely clear your mind of the past ones and just start fresh. And that's the only way you're going to keep the story fresh.
How much did you have to go back and check to see the different verbiage that Detective Clemo would use, things like that, just to make sure that you had even the nomenclature right?
I checked a lot at the beginning. I have a very poor memory, so I spent most of my time reading What She Knew. And then by the time Odd Child Out had progressed, I was sort of back in his voice quite effortlessly, but it did take quite a lot of work.
Well, it was just another fascinating book. It's Odd Child Out by Gilly McMillan. The book's available now from William Morrow, wherever your fine books are sold. Gilly, a fantastic second offering in the Jim Clemo series. Thanks for putting it out, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easy.